Okay, we're going to start with the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Bet. The Mishnah is something that should be familiar to us because it's an identical Mishnah that we found in Zvachim. There's not really any surprises here, just it's going to be laid out with the Mincha instead of the Zevach. Which is a komitza de Mincha, le choshireha b'chutz. Someone takes off a komitza with a machshava to eat the remainder b'chutz, o kezayit mishireha b'chutz, lehaktir komitza b'chutz, or to offer up the komitz b'chutz. I mean, chutz means outside of the area it normally would have been brought, o kezayit komtza b'chutz, o laktir levonota. So by a mincha, you have to remember that there are two things that end up on the mizbeach, which is both the kometz and levona end up on the mizbeach. Therefore, a machshava about either one of them, the gabei haktara, is going to have impact, b'chutz, pasul, ve'ein bo karet. In all of these situations, it's pasul, but there is no karet, because this is what we call chutzlim komo, machshevet chutzlim komo. Machshevet chutzlim komo is pusel, it ruins the korban, but it does not obligate one in karet. If he's intends in the machshava when he's taking off the komets to eat a kezayit lemachar chutz lizmano, remember that a mincha is kodesh kodoshim, therefore the zman achila of the mincha is yom vilaylo, therefore he does it lemachar, you're outside of the time framework that is proper for this mincha, o kezayit mishareh lemachar, or laktir komtza lemachar, he wants to be makriv the komets tomorrow, o kezayit mikomtza lemachar, o laktir levona, again the levona and the komets are both items that end up being muktar al mizbeach lemachar. Pigul, here we have pigul referring to chutz lizmano, a machshevet chutz lizmano, v'chayavim alav karet. On this, you are chayav karet. All of these we learned out when we learned in the Gemara in Zvachim. The Gemara learns out, how do we know that we're talking about machshevet chutz lizmano when it comes to the psukim in Parshat Tzav, when it speaks about that you can't leave over until the third day, and there the Torah uses the terminology ha-makriv, the one who is makriv. At the shat ha-krava, he becomes chayav. How could you become chayav at shat ha-krava for something that's chutz lizmano? Well, unless a machshevet chutz lizmano is the problem. That's how we know that there's a chiyuv karet. We also find that parsha is repeated again later in the Sefer Vayikra, and the Gemara says, im enu inyan l'chutz lizmano, tneyu l'inyan chutz limkomo. From there we learn out also chutz limkomo is a problematic. There, when it says chutz limkomo, it mentions karet, but we say that karet is not associated with the chutz limkomo, but rather we have a gezeirah shava that associates it with real notar. That the real notar, one who consumes real notar, is chayav karet. So these are things that we've learned already in Zvachim. It's just a quick review here in the Mishnah. Zeklal, here's the principle we laid out. Kol ha-komets, o notem bikli, hamolich ve'amaktir, lechol davar shedarko lechol, laktir davar shedarko laktir, chutz limkomo, pasul ve'en bo karet. So here we just laid out the four avudot by the mincha that equate to the four avudot that we had by the zevach, which means called komets. Komets is keneged shchita. Notein bakli is the equivalent of kabbalat adam. Hamolich is equivalent to holacha. And laktir is equivalent to zrikat adam. So in any of these areas, it's written as O-O-O, meaning that it's called komets, o notein bakli, o molich, o maktir. Now lechol davar sheder kol ocho, machshava of achila only is applicable, is only valid as a machshava if it's done with something that normally is eaten. Ulaktir, or you're going to be maktir, something that is normally muktar. If you did that chutz limkomo, the machshava related to doing this outside of the normal location, then again, pasul, vein bo karet. On the other hand, if the machshava that you had here is chutz lizmano, relates to doing this outside of the time frame that it normally is done, then it becomes pigul, v'chayavin alav karet, and here's the qualifier, uvaj yakriv amatir kimitzvato. As long as everything else is done correctly. What does that mean, everything else is done correctly? Kate said, kariv amatir kimitzvato. That's what the Mishnah says. Tell us how to do that. Kamatz bishtika. He did the kmitza without any thought. Now again, when we say shtika, Rashi over here mentions it, just pointed out, but kamatz b'shtika is shelo chishev, that he didn't think anything. So you could be medayik. I'm not saying that it's mukhrach mirashi here. We know there's some other rashis already anyway, that the machshava that we're talking about here is dibur. So what means kamatz b'shtika is that he didn't speak, because the opposite of machshavat pigol is being silent.
He had a machshavat pigol, he didn't express it.
I told you, it's not easy to understand. Rashi says, "Vishtika shlo chishev." What does that mean? Shlo chishev sounds like he didn't think anything whatsoever. But for Rashi, lo chishev in kachim means he didn't say it. So your question is valid, which is, well, if he didn't say it, maybe if he thought it, it still is the same thing as shtika, which is true. And machshav is einu molev einu morid b'gabe kachim for Rashi. The chishev that we're speaking about here is dibur. So it's yes, he spoke it out or he didn't speak it out. Be that as it may, he has here a case where it was kamatz b'shtika, but then natambikli v'olich v'iktir chutz lizmano. Again, that's O. O natambikli v'holi ohulich v'iktir chutz lizmano. O shekamatz chutz lizmano, or had a machshava of kmitza chutz lizmano, and then natambikli v'olich v'iktir b'shtika, and the rest he did without saying anything. O shekamatz v'natambikli v'holich v'iktir chutz lizmano, he had a machshava chutz lizmano on all of them. Zehu shekarev matir k'mitzvato. So you have three permutations of karev matir k'mitzvato, which is first of all where he has the machshava chutz lizmano up front, and then he's silent afterwards. The other case is where he's silent up front, and then he has a machshavet chutz lizmano. And the last permutation is where he has a machshavet chutz lizmano in all of them. That's also classified as being karev matir k'mitzvato. So it doesn't mean that you can't have any other machshavet chutz lizmano. It means you can't have any other machshava poselet. As long as you either do it with silently, you have no machshava, or you have a machshavet chutz lizmano, either one of those is sufficient to be classified as karev matir k'mitzvato. Karitz and glow karev matir k'mitzvato. What's the case where it's not done properly? Kamatz chutz limkamo. It has a k'mitza with chutz limkamo, which is a psul in the korban, not related to chutz lizmano. Then ratam mekliv elich v'ktir chutz lizmano. It did any one of the others chutz lizmano, or all of them chutz lizmano. Oh, shekamatz chutz lizmano, or he had the machshavet chutz lizmano up front. Ratam mekliv elich v'ktir chutz limkamo, and then he had the machshavet chutz limkamo in the remaining avodot. Oh, shekamatz ratam mekliv elich v'ktir chutz limkamo. Obviously, this is an obvious case. But there, zehu shelo karev matir k'mitzvato. In all these instances, it's not considered the karev matir k'mitzvato, and it becomes pasul, and you don't have a chiyuv of pigul and a chiyuv of karev. That's, again, the three permutations are where you have chutz lizmano up front, and then chutz lizmano afterwards. The other one is chutz lizmano up front, then chutz lizmano afterwards. The last permutation, which is obvious, which is the chutz lizmano in all of them, and obviously you don't have a chiyuv of chutz lizmano. Zehu shelo karev matir k'mitzvato. These are the cases where it's lo karev matir k'mitzvato, meaning that there's another factor that is being posel the korban. Minchat chotem, minchat kenaot. In minchat chotem, minchat kenaot, we have an additional factor that can create psul in the korbanot, and that's based on the first mishnah. First mishnah, we know that minchat kenaot and minchat chataot have the same din as a chatat and the pesach in zvachim, which is that shelo lishma is posel them. So we have an additional permutation that can create a psul here, which is shekamtzan shelo lishman. If he did a kmitza shelo lishma, then natam bakli v'alich v'ktir chutz lizmano, and after that he did either one or all of them chutz lizmano, or shekamatz chutz lizmano, he did the kmitza chutz lizmano, and then only afterwards had natam b'kli v'olich v'iktir shelo lishman. Oh, shekamatz v'natam b'kli v'olich v'iktir shelo lishman. Again, that's the obvious case. In all of these cases, zeh shelo karev matir k'mitzvato. In all of these cases, it doesn't work because the kanaot and chataot have an additional item that can be pusel the korban. When you do it shelo lishma, there it's not that the korban is k'sheira v'lo alul abalim. Gavei minchat chataot and minchat kanaot, it's pasul the gamre, just like by the chatat behema. Pasul the gamre, that means that there's an external psul that's independent of the pigul that you have here. And that's shelo karev matir k'mitzvato. And again, three permutations. One where you do the mechshevet chutz lizmano up front, then you have the mechshevet lo lishma, or the other way, you have the mechshevet lo lishma up front, then the mechshevet chutz lizmano. The final permutation, which again is the obvious one, is that he says lo lishma about all of them. So in that case, that's shelo karev matir k'mitzvato, and there will not be a chiyuv karet in this instance. Le'echol, because he has a mechshevet le'echol k'zayit b'chutz, and k'zayit l'machar. K'zayit l'machar, k'zayit b'chutz. But if he has a machshav of k'zayit b'chutz and k'zayit l'machar, so it's chutz and machar, or he has k'zayit l'machar, k'zayit b'chutz, and then he has the other way around, which is that he does the chutz lizmano and then chutz limkamo afterwards, or k'chadzizayit b'chutz u'k'chazit zayit l'machar, he has half a zayit l'chutz limkamo and half a k'zayit chutz lizmano, or the other way around, k'chadzizayit l'machar, k'chadzizayit b'chutz. In all of these instances, pasul v'ein bo karet. All of these instances are pasul v'ein bo karet. Now, as Rashi points out, ad hashto mayri, in all these cases we've been dealing with until here, where you had a makshava in two separate avodot. It's not where you have a makshava in one avodah. It was this avodah, you had this makshava, and the other avodah, you had another makshava. Now, when we're talking about here, we're talking about when you had both makshavot, avodah achat. Right, the Mishnah is doing it because of the next line in the Mishnah, truthfully. You're right, it happens to be that it's true that shtei avodot, you would think, obviously there's an additional psul, but maybe when I do it in a single machshava, that should be enough to make it pigol. No, there also, but truthfully the Mishnah is really after because of the next line, which is Amar Rav Yehuda. This is Rav Yehuda's position, who argues on this and says, Zakla, this is the principle. In machshavet hazman kadma la machshavet hamakom. If the machshavet chutz lizmano precedes the machshavet chutz limkomo, pigul mechayalivin alav karet. Then it's pigul and you chayav karet. On the other hand, in machshevet makom kadma the machshevet azman. On the other way around, where the makom comes before the zman, meaning that the psul happens before the machshevet chus zmano. Psul ve'im bal karet. V'chamim omrim ze v'ze psul ve'im bal karet. V'chamim we don't make such a differentiation between them. Truthfully, Rabbi Yehuda goes butter kamaita azlina. Rabbi Yehuda goes whichever one went for it first. That is, we would think that that's only true when you do it in two separate avodot. But maybe when you do it in a single avodah, that Rabbi Yehuda would agree. Mashmalan, no, the Rabbi Yehuda disagrees even in a single avodah. So he differentiates between which one is first, and he certainly would say that in the two avodot, which would be the opposite of what you were suggesting before. Rabbi Yehuda argues on both parts of the Mishnah, that he argues it depends really what comes first. That's all Rabbi Yehuda's position is, and that applies to both parts of the Mishnah. Alright, now Ibailahu. Again, the Gemara in Tzvachim deals with the Mishnah itself. The Gemara in Tzvachim spends a lot of time on dissecting the Mishnah and understanding the Mishnah. Here the Gemara already assumes that you know about the Mishnah from Tzvachim and you know all that information. So the Gemara is going to go straight to asking things that are relevant to Mincha. That's what it's going to spend the rest of the daf on, really, is about this question about the Mincha. The Divrei HaOmer, Shiraim Shechisru Ben Kmitzah La'Aktara. This is a discussion that we had in the previous dapim, which is if the Shiraim, the leftovers, go missing between Kmitzah La'Aktara. Everybody agrees if it's missing before the Kmitzah, that there's nothing to talk about, you can't do the Kmitzah. Or if the Kmitzah itself went missing, then you can't be Makter the Kmitzah. This is an instance. If you refill it, right. If you refill it, you have machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. But you can't, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, you can't do the kmitzah if it's missing. So now, if either that it's missing prior to that, or the kmitzah itself is missing, we know that that's problematic. The question arose, when after kmitzah, before the haktarah, what's the din? There again, we had a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan saying that you can be maktirit. Reish Lakish says you cannot be maktirit. They learned that out from Min HaMincha. Rabbi Yochanan says, Min HaMincha is Min HaMincha Shaya Kivar. In the past, that was full. Reish Lakish says, Min HaMincha means it still has to be whole at the time of the Haktarah. So now, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that if you're Maktir the Kometz, that you're not allowed to eat Mishiareha. Well, we saw in Rabbi Yochanan's position. Rabbi Yochanan says, look, I only told you that you could put the Kometz on the Mizbech. I did not say that you could eat the Shirayim. So that's what the Gemara says. The Divrei Omer, Shirayim Shechusru Ben Kemitzah Laktara, Maktir Kometz Alehem, Vikhaim Alon, and we already learned that Otan Shirayim Asurin Be'achila, that one may not consume those with Shirayim, Mahu Ditahane Le Haktara. This Haktara, we know, at least to get it on the Mizbech, that we allow you to put on. But does this kmitzah that you're makti on the mizbech have any impact as a kmitzah that ends up in the mizbech? It's not matzir the shirayim in order to eat them. But does it have other effects? What other effects does zrikat adam have? Or does kmitzah have in general? One of them is that it removes the isur mi'ila from the korban. In general, zrikat adam takes away the isur mi'ila when it comes to kodesh kodeshim, because then there's a zman heter lekohanim. Zman heter lekohanim removes the mi'ila. That's one thing it does. The other thing it does is it allows for a machshevet pigul. The zrika itself, at the moment of zrika, it's one of the four avodot, and therefore you can have a machshevet pigul at that moment. So now the question that's arising now is what the Gemara asks: Ma'ut etani le'aktara le'mikvinu bepigul uvlifkinu midemila. Does this kometz have enough status as a kometz, number one, to eliminate the mi'ila associated with this korban mincha? Is it a good enough hakrava that now we've stripped the isur mi'ila? Now generally you have the need to strip the mi'ila is that it has a heter lekohanim. Over here, there is, quote unquote, a heter lekohanim, but there's a technical problem. It's chiser, so the kohanim can't eat it. So is that enough of a kmitza, that haktara, is that enough to say mi'ila is gone? Or no, since the shiarim cannot be eaten by the kohanim, there is never a heter lekohanim, and the mi'ila remains on the korban mincha. Same thing with regards to pigul. Pigul is that I have a machshav at the time of the kmitzah, lechol davar, shedarko leachol. We're already past the moment of haktara when it comes to the kmitzah. So you can't have a machshava, you haven't a machshava about the kmitzah anymore, about doing the maktir, you're putting it on the mizbech right now, there's nothing to talk about. The only thing you could have a machshava about is to eat the shirayim chutz lizmano. Well now, you can't eat the shirayim whatsoever. So having a machshava of chutz lizmano and the shirayim doesn't have any impact. It has to be davar shadar kol le'achol. This is not necessarily davar shadar kol le'achol, because you can't eat it.
Put it that way, davar shadar kol le'achol, it's davar kol le'achol, it's just...
it's not technically able to be eaten.
Right, so that's exactly the Gemara's question. What do you mean by darko lechol? Does it mean you have to be able to eat it? Or is it something that's normally eaten, which would be exactly as you're laying it out? That would be the question of the Gemara. So now we have the first one. Amar Rav Huna. Afilu Rabbi Akiva. Even according to Rabbi Akiva, we have Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Elezer. Sorry about this. And we'll see, according to Rabbi Akiva, Damar Zrika Mo Elet Lo Yotzei. When you do Zrika to Dam, and something that is outside, the Zrika to Dam impacts the thing that left, that was Yotzei. Hanemila Yotzei, to Ita Be'enei. That's only true by Yotzei because the item is fully intact. It's just not here by us inside the Azara. Upaso Machmat Davar Acherhu. But what's the psul here? The psul is a technical problem that is not in the Azara. Yotzei is the gufa korban is fine. The gufa of the item is totally good. It's intact. It was been kosher. The only thing is I have an exogenous variable. I have something that is external to the korban, which is that it's outside the Azara. Aval chisaron, what we're talking about, something missing for the korban, the psula de gufehu, that's a psul in the gufa korban. That's not a technical, that's not an outside factor. That's an endogenous variable. That's something that is because the shiraim are missing, you have a pasul korban here. Lo mahani le aktara. Therefore, the aktara has no bearing and no help. So if we look at Zrikat Adam, Rabbi Kiva is willing to say that Zrikat Adam impacts on something that's pasul. What's that? That's Yotzei. Rav Huna suggests over here, where I have Zrikat Adam being taken care of Yotzei, then it surely should take care of Mincha here where it's Mechusar. Rav Huna says, no, you can't compare the cases. By Yotzei, the Korban is totally intact. It's not Psul Begufo. It's an exogenous variable that it says that it left, and that's why it's pasul. There, Rabbi Kiva says the Zrika is strong enough to overcome that problem. But here, where the variable is in the Gufa Korban, it's not strong enough to overcome it, and therefore the Akdara will not work, even according to Rabbi Kiva, who says that Zrika works in these situations. Then, Amrle Rava, Rava says, no, let's say this. Adarava, just the opposite. I feel Rabbi Elezer, even according to Rabbi Elezer, he says that in general, Zrika Adam does not help for Yotzei. Hani mila Yotzei deleta bifnim. What's the problem here? It's not present. The reason the Zrika doesn't work is, why should Zrika work for something that's not within, I would say, our framework of which we are in? The Azara is the framework.
It's in the domain.
Exactly. It's now left the area where it should have impact. Kodshim should have impact. And that's why it's outside. It's outside of our purview. So when you do the Zrikat Adam, it's not covered. On the other end, Al-Chisaron, the Ite Bishnim. So here, when you're talking about Chisaron, it's right in front of us. It's here. Whatever is left is here. Maybe Mahani Le'Aptorah. Therefore, the Aptorah should help us out in this situation. How can I prove that to you? How can I prove to you is a question that Shaul asked on the Mishnah, which is the Tanan. Our Mishnah says, why does it mention both Shia Reha and then Kazayit, Mechutz, Mishia Reha? Why do I need both statements? Obviously, if it's a Kazayit, then the full Shia Reha also. Why does the Mishnah mention both of these cases? Vitani Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia's Mishnah is actually missing this entirely. It says, Kometzata Mincha, Velotani, O Kazayit. Chia, when he wrote his Mishnah, doesn't have that additional statement of O Kazayit, my time. Why does Rabbi Chia differ? Why does Rabbi Chia's formulation of the Mishnah different from Rabbi's formulation of the Mishnah? The only assumption, you can see that in the second to last line in Rashi, is that Rabbi Chia would agree to whatever Rabbi said. Rabbi Chia is a Talmud of Rabbi, and when he formulated the Mishnah, he's agreeing with Rabbi. But there must have been something that caused him not to formulate it like Rabbi. And what is that? My time alotani is okazayit. Why did he leave out that part of the formulation? Lav kigon shechisru shiraim. Problem is, why you have a kazayit here? Why do you have a kazayit here? There are two reasons or two possibilities of why you have a kazayit here. You could have a kazayit here because you have the entire shiraim, but you only had a machshava about a kazayit worth of that shiraim. The other possibility of why you have a kazayit here is because the remainder of the shiraim don't exist. And the only reason you have a kazayit, that's what's left of the shiraim. Those are the two possibilities. Now, what happened here? Lav kigon, must be the case is, shechisru shiraim v'kamalu akazayit. The shiraim diminished to the point where there's only a kazayit left. V'keivan dematan kli, v'hiluch v'aktara, in all of these cases, lo matni lei, he didn't put them in, o kazayit. Shiraim nami lo tani, o kazayit. Therefore, he left it out, also, I'm reading it based on the shitu mukubetz, it says, he knocks out the word kmitza and lechol shiraim, says, so let's think about this. In terms of the avodot that we're speaking about here, we're talking about kmitza, we're talking about the matan kli, and we're talking about the holacha. In all of those cases, we're talking about the actual kometz itself. You're talking about the kometz itself when it's saying taking off the kmitza, or you're talking about placing it into the kli, or being maktirin on the mizbeach. In all of those instances, you were talking about the kometz itself. By the kometz itself, everybody agrees if it's chaser, there's nothing to talk about. This is something either prior to kmitza being done, chisaron, if there's a chisaron there, then you know it's a problem. Or in the kmitza itself, if there's a chisaron, we know it's a problem. So in all those instances, we can't be speaking about a kazayit. Why can't we be saying a kazayit? Because if the kazayit is an indication of the remainder, kazayit, again, I can tell you, you can formulate it two ways. Kazayit is the entirety of what's there, or kazayit means that that is what remains from the entirety. So that means that you have a chisaron in the komet. Chisaron in the komet, everybody agrees, is pasul. So since you can't write o kazayit by all of these activities, Rabbi Chiya left it out by the case of shirayim as well. He could have written it by shirayim. He agrees with Rabbi that you could say o kazayit by shirayim. But why didn't he write it there? He didn't write it there because he can't write it by the other three avodot. By the other three avodot, if you wrote o kazayit, it actually would be pasul. It would be actually a problem, not the machshava. It would be a problem because the mitzah is chasera. But the underlying assumption again is that Rabbi Chiya agrees with Rabbi. And the reason he left it out, he didn't want that confusion to happen. But he agrees with Rabbi that that would be the din. But what does that show you? It shows you that there's this agreement that when it comes to a kazayit of shirayim, ein ochanami, that would work. The machshava by kazayit of shirayim would work. And that shows you that there is pigul by the kazayit of shirayim. So with the assumption that Rabbi Chiya agrees with Rabbi, and he agrees with the position of kazayit, and the only reason he left it out is because of this consistency within the Mishnah. So because of that consistency within the Mishnah is why he left it out. But otherwise, he would agree to Rabbi's position that kazayit is good enough to have a machshava. That means that when you have a case of shirayim shechisru, that we're missing a tilka kazayit, and you have a machshava pigul, the machshava pigul works. It works. Well, if machshava pigul works, that answers our question. Rabbi says, now I know. I'm telling you that a kazayit, if you can have a machshava about kazayit of shirayim, that means that machshava pigul works when I have something that went missing between the komets and the akhtara, between the hafrashat komets and the akhtara. That is seifa. And then the seifa says, pigul v'chayil v'nakareit. Ama mahani le'akhtara. Therefore, the akhtara works. Amar le'abaye. Lo, why do you have to say that? Hamani Rabbi Elazar hi. No, why do you have to suggest, like you do, a barava, that Rabbi Chiya and the Rabbi are consistent? The two Mishnayot are consistent, and Rabbi Chiya, for a technical reason, didn't write O Kazayit. The technical reason is that he can't place it in all these different instances. So say he could play it. He wanted to keep it a consistent Mishnah, not mention O Kazayit by one of them, not by the others. So keep it consistent, he left it out. But in general, the underlying presumption is that he agrees with Rabbi. And that's how you can prove it. Rabbi says, no. Maybe Rabbi Chiya is bringing down a Braita that is someone else's position entirely, and that is Rabbi Elazar's position, because Rabbi Elazar believes it's not. Hakomets v'alivona v'hak toret u'minchat kohanim u'minchat kohen mashiach u'minchat nisachim. The common denominator between all of these are all items that end up entirely on the mizbeach. That is the komets and the levona, which all have to end up on the mizbeach. The ktoret ends up entirely on the mizbeach. The minchat kohanim, which is kulo kalil, all minchat kohanim are kulo kalil. That's the same thing. Minchat kohen mashiach is the minchat chavitin, has the same din of kulo kalil, and minchat nesachim, which end up entirely on the mizbeach. So these are all items that end up entirely on the mizbeach. Shikriv me'achat me'an kazayit b'chutz. If we had this Mishnah in Zvachim, in a Karavat Chutz, if you take a Gezayit of this, which is Ra'ui Bifnim, and you do it B'chutz, Chayav. But Rabbi Elazar disagrees. Rabbi Elazar says, Poter Ad Shekriv Et Kulo. That was a position we saw of Rabbi Elazar that says you have to put the entirety of what could have gone inside, outside. You can't just take a Gezayit to be Makriv Et B'chutz. A Gezayit is not significant in the context of where the entirety should have ended up on the Mizbeach. Kevan De B'hak Terek Mitzah Lo Matni Lei. Okazayit mikomsa b'chutz shirayim nami lo matilei okazayit. The reason that Rabbi Chiya left out okazayit by the comments is not because he believes that when you have a chisaron ben kmitza lahaktara that you can have a machshev pigul that impacts. No, the problem here is that this is Rabbi Elazar, and by Rabbi Elazar, if you do a haktara of a kezayit, that makshava will not be mo'il. Why would it not be mo'il? Because Rabbi Elazar believes the only time makshava is mo'il, just like by hakravat chutz, the only time that hakravat chutz is mo'il is when you do the entirety of the item that should end up in the mizbech, so too by makshava. By makshava, when are you going to have a makshava be gum be mo'il? Only when you do the haktara of the entirety of the item that should have been there. If you do a subpar haktara, your makshava will have no impact, because a subpar haktara is not haktara. Just like by chutz, if you only do a kazayit, that's not called haktara. Bifnim, if you do a kazayit, that's also not called haktara. That's what Rabbi Elazar's opinion is. You have to be consistent, inside and outside. Inside, you have to put all of it on, all of it. And until you have all of it, it's not a real haktara. So do bachutz. If you don't put all of it on, that's not considered to be haktarat chutz. And same thing with machshev pigul. Machshev pigul will only impact if you put the entirety of the item on, because that's only the kosher haktara. So since that's true by haktara, and Rabbi Chiya could not formulate the Mishnah to read, okizayit v'haktara, Therefore, he also left it out by the Shirayim. By Shirayim, because Zayit would work. But he left it out because he can't keep it consistent, because if you were had a Machshava to eat it, because Zayit of the Shirayim, yes, that would work. That Machshava would work. But he didn't put it in there because he can't say Oka Zayit by the other Avodot that are mentioned here because of Rabbi Lazar's opinion. For Rava, you can't prove anything for Rabbi Chiya, because I can give you a different reason why Rabbi Chiya left it out. Because I want to make Rabbi Chiya is consistent with our Mishnah, and it's both the Shita of Chachamim. Why did he leave it out? It's only because he couldn't create this consistency through the Mishnah. That's my proof. The Agmar says, no, if the Braita is authored by Rabbi Lazar, that's why Rabbi Chiya didn't write it. Rabbi Chiya's Braita is Rabbi Lazar, and that's why he left out the word Kizayit. Not because it's consistent with the Mishnah anymore. It's not consistent with the Mishnah. The Mishnah is Chachamim. The Braita is Rabbi Elazar. And we're talking about two different opinions. The reason Rabbi Chiya left out Okazayit is because we're in Shita to Rabbi Elazar. The Shita to Rabbi Elazar, the word Kazayit doesn't work so well. So therefore he left it out. But he agrees with Rabbi, the Gabe Shita Chachamim, that you could put in the word Kazayit. It's just the problem is within the Shita to Rabbi Elazar. And therefore I'm no longer proof to Rava. No longer proof to Rava because the elimination of the word Kazayit here is not because of the reason that Rava said, which is that it has to do with the fact that it does work. Machshavat Pigul would work, but there's a technical problem here. No, Machshavat Pigul by Kazayit would not work whatsoever. It wouldn't work at all. What's the reason? It's all Rabbi Elazar. It's a totally different reason. It's outside of what we're looking for. It's a different category whatsoever. And therefore, it doesn't help us anymore. So the Gemara says, wait. E Rabbi Elazar, hi. Wait a minute, if this is Rabbi Elazar, please, you have to get everything on. Well, everything on by a mincha is not just the komets. There are two things that end up on the Mizbeach. That's the komets and the levona. So if you want to get the whole package, and you want to be aktara for Rabbi Elazar, you need to have the komets and the levona on. The fact that you're mentioning komets by itself already is an indication that this isn't the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Because Rabbi Elazar, komets by itself is the equivalent of like kazayit in a komets. It doesn't matter, because it's half a matir. Can't have half a matter get on and be considered as a haktarup. So haktir kumsal, haktir kumsal umanotami by late. It's done. Hakomets velabunashi krivet achad mehem b'chutz chayav. If you do, again, this is a Mishnah from Zvachim that we saw very recently, that if you do a komets or the levona b'chutz, then you're chayav. That's a shitat chachamim. As long as you get a haktara b'chutz, that would be significant bifnim, that's enough. And over here, the komets and the levona each are significant bifnim. Rabbi Elazar poter, achi krivet shneim. But it says you're potur until you pull out the money. You've got to get the entire matir. Just like bifnim, you need the entire matir. B'chutz, you need the entire matir. Well, nitzucha, alakobets minchat choteh. Wait a minute. No, we have a case. Rabbi Elazar has a case where there's only a komets. What's the case of only a komets for Rabbi Elazar? Minchat choteh. Minchat choteh is a dry minchat that doesn't have levona, doesn't have shemen. So therefore, the only thing as the matter, the only thing that's mukrav, is the komets. So in that case, that could be Rabbi Elazar's authorship in the Mishnah. As Rashi points out here, what about the levona case? There is. The Mishnah, that, what we mentioned before, komets vea levona is the case. Where do you have a case of only levona?
Yeah,
what's that? We had it. You're right, we had it. What's the case of lechem afanim, the vazichim and the lechem afanim. So therefore, the cases that he'll be speaking about are cases where the levona is levad, which is lechem afanim, or cases where the komets is levad, which is a case of minchat choteh. So Gemara asks the obvious questions here. He says, ve'ichpil tana lashmin and komets to minchat choteh? But the Tana had to repeat a whole braita just to deal with this one little case of minchat choteh, because that's the only way it's going to be relevant. It's going to be relevant by this one unique case of minchat choteh. Gemara says, Yeah, that's right. They repeated the whole braita to do this. V'chein, ki atar avdimi on Rabbi Elazar, komets to minchat choteh, hu v'Rabbi Elazar hi. So you have a similar opinion to what Abai suggested in the Braita of Rabbi Chiya, that that's the case, that this is authored Rabbi Elazar in this unique case of Minchat Choteh. And that's why the Braita is different. So now we don't have any proof to Rabbi's position, but then we have a line from Rabbi that we're seeing more often. Hodar Marava Lav Milti Yidamre. Rabbi goes and says, you know what? What I said was wrong. Period. What I said, not only is this not a proof, what I said is wrong. What I wanted to indicate over here, that the possibility of that between the komets to the haktara, that it went missing, that is not a problem in terms of pigul, and not a problem in terms of mila, that the komets that I put on, which I allow you to put on, will work to eliminate the mila, will work to make it pigul. That was wrong, the Tanya. How do I know that? It says, by the mincha, kodesh, kodoshim, hu. What do we learn out from hu? She im nifrasa achat mehen. If one of the lechem apanim breaks, is ruined, kulan psulot, they're all problematic. Ha, what do you want to be? The Rabbi is saying, be died from this. The braita that we're bringing says, when is there a problem with the lechem apanim? When you have a chisaron in the shirayim, but ha, yatzat, hanidikika vaik shirot. The example given in the Braita where you have a problem for all the lechem apanim is where they're all there, but one of them is missing. One of them has a problem with it. But the implications are that if they were all there and one of them went outside, that the remainder inside would be fine. Well, who's of the opinion? Well, when something goes out and the remainder stay inside, that it's okay. Who tells us, who's the author of that opinion, that when you do Zrika, it helps for something that's outside as long as it's intact? That's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, yeah, we just saw this Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says it doesn't matter where it's located, as long as it's all intact, the Zrika helps. So to over here, we're going to be medayik out of this Braita. When it comes to the Lechem Apanim, if one of the Lechem Apanim left and the remainder are inside, fine. No problem. You can eat, that'll be good. The bazikim will work and whatever's left inside will be fine. When is it a problem? When they're all here and something is wrong with one of them bifnim, then they're all problematic. That's exactly what the position of Rav Huna suggested. Afilu the Rabbi Akiva, even according to Rabbi Akiva who said that zrika him is mo'al lechutz, if it's bifnim and it's a psul gufo, doesn't work. So that this brighter would seem to me midayek, exactly like the way Rav Huna explained Rabbi Akiva, which is what Rav is saying. I have a brighter here that goes against what I just said. I wanted to be back the other way. I said, I feel the Rabbi Lazar who says that b'chutz is problematic, b'fnim, as long as it's in front of us, it would work. Here we see a brighter that supports the understanding of Rav Huna. Even according to Rabbi Akiva, who says, yotzei b'chutz is okay, when it's b'fnim and it's a psul gufo, it's problematic. V'kamar nifesalo, and he says, when it's inside and it's missing, it's problematic. This is my case. I have a mincha, lechem apanim has a qualification like a mincha, but zichim are the komets. What are the shirayim? The shirayim are the lechem apanim. And it says here, if you take the bazichim and nifasa lechem, problematic. Here we have a case of shirayim to chasru, right? That are missing between the komets and the haktara, and the whole thing is pasul. So here you go. This is exactly what we're looking for. This is what we're trying to understand. Rebbe says, this is against me. So this is funny now that Abaye comes along. I'm like, Abaye, why do you have to say that? Why do you have to say that it's a disproof to you? Abaye is now going to do the opposite. He's going to set up the brightness, so it's not a disproof to Rava. So I'm really, Abaye, it's ironic, right? Abaye before ruined Rava's proof. Now Rava brings a disproof against himself, and Abaye also ruins his disproof. So I'm really, by Mikdani, Hayatzot. Why do you have to say the deal? Because that if it went out, Dilma Hanitmate. There's another possibility of psul. We've talked about this before, which is when it becomes Tamei, what's the din? You can have all, you have these different types of psulim. You have a chisaron, you have Tamei, and you have Yotzei. Three, which are more similar to each other. So what Rava suggested over here is that you have Bifnim missing, and then what's the deal from that? That if it went out to Yotzei, that would be fine. You don't have to say that. You could say that Bifnim, it's problematic, but the deal is that Nitmate. If it became Tamei, then it would be okay. Well, being Tamei is okay. If it had Nitmate, if one of them became Tamei and the rest are okay, Hanech Sherot, my timer. Why would you suggest in a case of Tumah that it works? We always know that by Tumah is a special situation because Meratze Tzitz. The Tzitz takes care of Tumah. When it comes to Tumah, the Tzitz overrides Tumah and allows it to be Kasher. So this is a Minchat HaTzibur, right? The Lechem HaPanim are Minchat HaTzibur. And we'll say that Tzitz is Meratze on Tumah. So now what's my deal? My deal is if it's broken inside, it's missing something on the inside, Pasul. All of them are pasul. If one of them became tamei, kasher. The remainder, obviously, the remaining ones will be kasher. Why are they kasher? Because of meratze tzitz. Now, whose opinion is this? No, not make it consumable, but allow the continue. Correct. About yatzat, if it came to yotzei, now what would be the status of yotzei? The deal of the mission is inside missing, problematic. Tuma, okay, meratze tzitz. The implications for that would be that Yotzei and Ochanami would also be problematic. Who is the author of the opinion that Yotzei is problematic? Rabbi Elazar. Okay, so now if Rabbi Elazar is the author of this position. Abba Yatzad Lo. I'm sorry, it's Rabbi Eliezer. It should have been Rabbi Eliezer all along. I should have known that because he's a peer. As you know, Rabbi Eliezer is a peer of Rabbi Akiva, whereas Rabbi Elazar is a generation after Rabbi Akiva. He's a Talmud. So it should have been, the person who's arguing with Rabbi Akiva along should have been Rabbi Eliezer. Generally, Rabbi Eliezer would be more make more sense. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkunus would have argued with Rabbi Akiva, their peers. They're the same generation of Tanaim. Rabbi Elazar is a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, which wouldn't make so much sense that he's arguing with his Rebbe. He's the second, he's the next generation, fourth and fifth generation Tanaim, I think. So that wouldn't make so much sense. It should be, I think it should be Rabbi Elazar. Makam Chutz, this is definitely Rabbi Elazar. I'm just talking about, I mentioned back by Rabbi Akiva. Yes, it should have been Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar, he, Ein Zrika Molelet Yotzei. then who is the author of this braita? The author of this recipe, Rabbi Eliezer, says Yotzei is pasul. Uvedinu the baila the mitnei nami yatsat, and it could have written yatsat too. Would be pasul. V'haydik tani nifrisa. So then, why did it mention nifrisa and not yatsat? The hakamashman dafilu nifrisa the ita bifnim lo mahani lehaktara. That for Rabbi Eliezer, even if it's bifnim, then it's still problematic. Now this. Rava, if you remember, Rava suggested, afilu Rabbi Eliezer. Even according to Rabbi Eliezer, says Yotzei is pasul, he would agree if it's bifnim that it would be kasher. So that's what this braita comes to undermine, that type of logic. If you were to say, Rabbi Eliezer says Yotzei is problematic, but if it's sitting in front of us, even if it's missing, then it'd be okay. Braita comes and says, no, it's not okay on the inside. Rabbi Eliezer. His opinion is, Yotzei is problematic, in bifnim, if it's mechaser, it's problematic. But that's all within the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Well, if that's all in the position of Rabbi Eliezer, Aval the Rabbi Akiva, if it comes to Rabbi Akiva, da amar zrika moalat yotzei, afilu chitzaro nami ma'anile akhtara. According to Rabbi Akiva's position, now, when it's outside, it's good. Also on the inside, when it's missing, it'll also be good. According to Rabbi Akiva, everything will be good. So you actually have here an opinion, what Rabbi is trying to explain in the Braita, is that their positions will actually differ, both from Rav Huna and Rava's explanation. Rava suggested that Rabbi Eliezer would agree that chisaron is okay. Here the Braita is clearly saying that's not the case. Because if you think the Braita is author of Rabbi Eliezer, saying Yotzei is problematic, and so is Nifrisa Lechem is problematic. But Rav Huna also suggested, afilu Rabbi Akiva, who says Yotzei is problematic, that Nifrisa Bifnim would be that Yotzei is okay, Nifrisa Bifnim would be problematic. He's saying, no, don't think that. Rabbi Akiva says, no, just like Yotzei is good, so too Nifrisa Bifnim is good. And that would be their positions will be like this. Rabbi Eliezer, he posts out everything, and Rabbi Akiva is matir everything. If that's the case, then Rabbi, you're not necessarily wrong. Your opinion might be right. You might be in Shita to Rabbi Akiva. This bright Shita, Rabbi Eliezer. All right, Mishnah. Lechol chatzik zayit, ulaktir chatzik zayit. He has a machshava le'achila, en aktara vechol of chatzik zayit. Then kasher shein achila haktara mistafim. We had this also in the Mishnah Zvachim. You can't be mix and match achila and haktara, because achila and haktara are two separate. They're two achilot. There's achilat adam and achilat mizbeach. You have to have the machshava either about achilat mizbeach or achilat adam. You can't put the two together. So Mar says taimo delechol laktir. Who problem here is because he had a machshava lechol and to maktir halechol ulechol dovar shein darko lechol. If he had a machshava of chatzik zayit of eating and chatzik zayit of lechol dovar shein darko lechol, it's then it would work. What about our mission is explicit in the ratio. He has a makshava to eat something that, like the komets, that would normally end up on the mizbeach. That's ein dar kol echol. You don't eat the komets usually. It's the achilat mizbeach. But he has in mind that he's going to eat it outside of the zman. Right. So then when it says haktani reisha, we just had it in the Mishnah. We just read it. The chol davar shet dar kol echol aktir davar shet dar kol aktir. Mishnah is pretty explicit that your makshava only is moelet when you have your makshava about eating something that's normally eaten and being maktir something that's normally muktar. So davar shet dar kol echol in shet dar kol echol lo. It's an easy deal out of the Mishnah. It's pretty straightforward. If it says you have to do your makshava about something that is right to eat, that means obviously if it's not right to eat, it's not going to work. So Mantano. So who's the author of this position? I'm Rabbi Yirmiya Hamani. Rabbi Eliezer. This is Rabbi Eliezer. There's an opinion that you can switch back and forth. That we don't worry about that. That your achila can affect eating the items that are not darko lechol. It's not. You have a Mishnah. Comments that the mincha lechol davar shein darko lechol aktir davar shein darko aktir kasher. Rabbi Eliezer pusel. So here we have the Tanakhama says it's kasher, why? Because you can't have a makshava about something that's not normally eaten, or a makshava about something that's normally muktar. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer, because that's how you fit this last piece here. How could you make this deal, kind of this last piece, that ain't dar kol echol? So, bayamar, afilu teima rabbanon. No, even rabbanon can be the authors here. Lo teima, don't make the deal, halechol, ulechol, davar shein dar kol echol, ela ema. This should be the deal. Halechol, ulechol, davar shein dar kol echol. Even if you take achila and normally something that's eaten, umay kamash falan, habehejin katani lo. That we already know. Lechol, kazayit bachutz, u kazayit lamachar, kazayit lamachar, u kazayit bachutz, kachati zayit bachutz, kazayit zayit lamachar, kachati zayit lamachar, kazayit zayit bachutz. We already had that. You can have two machshavot in a single avoda. That's not a problem. We've seen that already in the Mishnah. Why do you need me to tell me this additional piece at the end? Hatu lomali. What do I need this addition for? If you're coming to teach me that chol olechol davar shein darko lechol, right here the Gersa is probably metzdav. Not the mitzdareif. That you're coming to teach me that those are not mitzdareif. Mireisha sheminan. We already know that from the reisha of the Mishnah that those things do not mitzdareif, because it says in the reisha of the Mishnah that you can only do something that is darko le'echol. So obviously these are not mitzdareif. So that can't be what it's coming to teach me. Oh, if you want to say ilech olaktir, if you're trying to take, come and teach me that echila and aktara do not mitzdareif. Midyuka dereishes shmamina. We can learn out of the mesha. The hashtam alechol ulechol davar shein dakol ulechol. Over here, when you're talking about something that you can eat and something that is not edible, right? You said lo mitzdareif. The whole ulaktir mi baye. Then you have to tell me something where you're talking about something that's not even in the realm of achila. That you have to tell me that it's not going to work. That the two different things, aktara and echila, which are totally different avudot. Then you have to tell me that, sir. In lechol ulaktir, it's true. No, we do need that case when it's achila and aktara. Why do we need that? What's the problem over here when you have a machshava of achila and achila of davar she'in darko lechol? One of them you're doing wrong. One of them you're doing fine, achila. The other half you're doing wrong. Avohocha. In this case, hi ki orche, kamach hashem, hi ki orche, kamach hashem. I'm doing both of them right. I do the achatara part right, I'm doing the achila part right in terms of makshava. So maybe they should be mitzareif. Emel mitzareif, kamash man. That's what this last part of the Mishnah teaches me, is that when, even when you have both parts right, but it's a chatzik zayde this, chatzik zayde that, they can't be mitzareif. Alright, let's stop over here.